Kia ora koutou katoa and good afternoon. Welcome to day three at Alert Level 3. Today I'm going to update you on our ongoing enforcement actions under COVID-19 Alert Level 3, as I know that there are many New Zealanders who are anxious about compliance at this level. But first, as per usual, I'll hand over to the Director General of Health for his update, Dr. Bloomfield.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Tēnā koutou katoa. Today we have three new confirmed cases to report. One is linked to an existing case and the two others are under investigation still. In addition, we have reclassified what was previously a probable case as not a case. This means our total for confirmed cases is now 1,129, and this is the number we report to the World Health Organisation. The total number of probable cases is 347, and our overall total is 1,476 cases. Pleased to say there are no further deaths to report today, and we currently have seven people in hospital, none of whom are in intensive care. There was a significant increase in testing yesterday, with 5,867 tests performed, and our new total tests is 134,570. Of our cases, 1,241 are reported as recovered, and this represents an increase of 12, and 84% of all cases are now considered recovered. There are no additional cases within our clusters, and the total number of clusters that are of at least 10 cases or more remains at 16. Now, as we move back into level three, routine healthcare is commencing again, and by this I'm talking about screening tests and childhood immunisation. And we have had some feedback from the sector that people may be misconstruing text reminders as being an error and the machine not having been turned off. These important preventive procedures are now back up and going, and I encourage everybody, if you do get a text, a phone call or a reminder about, for example, a childhood immunisation or a cervical smear, please go and get that care. It's very important not to delay what are essential parts of keeping well. People should also not delay seeking care for acute conditions and even maintenance if you have a chronic condition. Please do get in touch with your practitioner, and as you will be aware, they can do many of those consultations virtually as well. If you get an appointment from the hospital for an X-ray or other investigation or an outpatient appointment, please do take up that invitation, and the hospitals have very good procedures in place to keep you safe. A final update on the Section 70 notice. An amended Health Act order has been published on the Ministry of Health website. You will find it in the Epidemic Notices section on the Ministry of Health website. The new order amends the previous one to specify the following. People can travel to care for their pets and other animals because we know it's important to look after these important members of our households or our where we're living. So we've clarified that veterinary services are permitted to be contact services, which means you can go into the premises to drop off pets or other animals that require care. And also, hunting of game birds for recreation purposes is not permitted at Alert Level 3. This means, for instance, people cannot go duck shooting and the like during Alert Level 3. Thank you, Prime Minister.
Thank you, Dr. Bloomfield. New Zealand's move to Alert Level 3 gets 400,000 extra New Zealanders back to work and means that roughly 75% of the economy is now operating. But as we've said, this extra activity does come with extra responsibility. The responsibility, as I've said repeatedly, to keep up that amazing effort that the team of 5 million has put in to fight the virus. So while people can now enjoy takeaways and pickups, it is vital that we keep our physical distancing and stay at home if there is no proper reason to be outdoors. Police have an online Level 3 breach reporting tool via Police 105. As of 5:30 p.m. yesterday, 1,035 complaints have been received, with 277 referred to the compliance assessment team. Of those, 104 have been tasked with further action by agencies. Some are being followed up by MB, Police, WorkSafe and MPI, all dependent on the type of breach that may have occurred. The common themes of complaints were lack of social distancing, business breaches by patrons or staff, safe operating practices for cafes, recreational activities, and specific complaints about in-home gatherings. In addition, the All of Government Response Team has a compliance centre that is monitoring the news that is being reported. So we're not waiting necessarily for a member of the public to make a complaint. If we see reporting through the news of compliance issues, then those are being followed up proactively as well. New figures also show the ongoing police response to enforcement, including a total of 185 breaches of the CDM or Health Acts under Alert Level 3. That's an increase of 81 in the past 24 hours. 46 prosecuted, an increase of 21 in 24 hours. 119 warnings, it's an increase of 48. And 20 youth referrals, that's an increase of 8. There are, of course, ongoing police assurance patrols. And over the course of the last 2 days, there have been 1,400 of those by the police. Police have also advised that after a bit of a spike in the first 24 hours of Level 3, things have started to calm down, a similar pattern that we saw when we first moved into lockdown. So as I have said, we all have a responsibility to make this new phase of our COVID response work. Please continue to act like you have the virus when you are out and about. And if you see breaches, please report them. The last thing we can afford is a spike in cases due to taking our foot off the pedal. And as has been reported today, we do still have cases that are coming through. And so now is not the time to loosen up our compliance. Yesterday, I provided a preliminary figure on school and ECE attendance. I can confirm that around 2% of year 1 to 10 school children attended yesterday and around 4% of ECE. As I said yesterday, this is actually a really strong indication of the caution New Zealanders are taking at Level 3, and that is exactly what we were wanting, that ultimately everyone who could stay home was staying home, but those who needed to were able to access education. Other news I can share with you today is that Parliament will pass under urgency a significant package of tax changes to provide further cash flow to support small businesses. And these are ones that we have shared with you before. Our package releases more than $3 billion through the tax system to help small to medium-sized enterprises as they continue to deal with the economic impact of COVID-19. As you recall, that includes the ability to carry over tax losses and so on. I can also share a breakdown of how much of the wage subsidy has been paid to our smaller firms. More than $1.25 billion has been paid to about 188,000 sole traders. A further $4.27 billion has gone to 160,000 small businesses that employ between 1 and 19 staff. And almost 8,900 medium-sized enterprises, so up to 99 staff, have been paid $1.3 billion. Just as a reminder, people in receipt of that wage subsidy are those who can demonstrate hardship through COVID-19 and are required to pass all of that wage subsidy directly on to their staff members. It's one way that we have undoubtedly been able to limit the amount of job loss through this period. Many of our smaller Kiwi firms will be operating again under Level 3, but they do still face tough times. So one thing I want to encourage everyone to do is to think about supporting local when you are engaging in contactless trade. This brings me finally to what is fast becoming a segment on Kiwi ingenuity. Thankyouhealthcare.co.nz is a website that contains business discounts for those working in our healthcare sector. It's playing two roles, though. Not only is it targeted at discounts for our healthcare workers, it's also targeted at businesses that may not be able to operate yet, be it accommodation or spa experiences or even elements of tourism, but as a way to thank healthcare workforces through significant discounts whilst also helping some of those businesses prepare for the future world where they'll be able to reopen and operate. I do want to acknowledge Alika and Raul, who came up with the idea of Thank You Healthcare. Raul worked in New Zealand tourism industry for 25 years and was recently in hospital and says, now is the time to show our appreciation for everything these incredible people do, not just in a time of crisis, but every single day. I couldn't agree more. Ready for questions.
This is Stuff the Fast Food Restaurant.
I'll start over.
Hello. Minister, when we were looking to move into level three, you spoke about the pillars that we wanted to to aim towards in order to move into level three. What are those pillars that we're aiming towards in terms of a move into level two?
You will have heard us describe level three as the waiting room, the place where we check all of those things that we wanted to see at level four are actually in place, that we don't have big surges in cases, that we don't have community transmission, that we still have control of the virus. And that is what we'll be looking for when we make that decision to move to the next alert level. We will be taking very seriously the advice of the Director General of Health. So it may be something you may wish to comment on too, Ashley.
Just a couple of comments. I think similar to the move from alert level 4 to 3, where we're looking at any new cases emerging, where they are, and our ability to link those to existing cases. We will also be looking at the outcome of our surveillance testing, which we all district health boards are doing apace today, and I think you saw that reflected in the increased number of laboratory tests. So quite a lot of that will be the surveillance testing happening around the country. And I think another thing we're very interested, of course, is the degree of compliance with the physical distancing measures in particular that businesses have put in place to be able to operate under level three, which will need to continue into level two. So that will be a key indicator.
Mikey?
Do we need to get to zero cases? Is that something that we need to see? Or is it just if we're not seeing new cases that are linked to existing cases?
Not necessarily zero. And as you've seen, and other countries have seen, there's a long tail in these cases. And the key thing is keeping up that high rate of testing to make sure we're identifying cases, as well as our surveillance through general practice reporting of influenza-like illness and other surveillance through ESR, and then being able to rapidly respond to that with our contact tracing case finding.
Just one final thing to add on that. You know, we might have on any given day 2-3 cases, but all three of those could, for instance, come from someone who's coming from overseas and is currently in quarantine. So that's a far less concern to New Zealand than, for instance, someone that we may find in the community. So it does matter where those cases are coming from.
Staff at a fast food restaurant say that when they opened on Tuesday, physical distancing practices were not being adhered to inside the kitchen. Workers had to work beside each other because of high demand, and they also had say that the drive-thru isn't working because when they pass food over their hands, come into contact with customers' hands. Are takeaway restaurants doing enough to adhere to the standards, and how is that being checked?
Yeah, we are expecting standards to be upheld by those who now have the responsibility to keep everyone safe when they're trading. And so that is why we are taking enforcement very seriously. We do have not only the police out there, but of course our Labour Inspectorate are concerned about whether or not standards are being maintained for those who are working in those environments too. So I do expect a high standard. It is a responsibility and a level of trust we are placing on those who are operating, but we will also enforce.
But to those workers who perhaps might feel they can't speak up to their employers, might be afraid of the repercussions or consequences, what recourse do they have? What should they do in that situation?
No, what I think we've seen already through our reporting is that customers are willing to enforce as well. And so I would hope ultimately that workers feel they can safely make an approach to those who are involved in enforcement, including our inspectorate. But even if they don't, customers are very mindful of what they're seeing. If they see unsafe practice, they are reporting it.
Police checkpoints, community checkpoints rather, are they legal and are you comfortable with them?
It is not legal for any member of the public to simply stop or prohibit the movement of others. But the police are, of course, able to do that. Where we've had community checkpoints, in some cases there have been information sharing, it hasn't necessarily been prohibiting travel. Where they have been cropping up, we've had police working alongside those checkpoints to make sure that what is happening is legal, is safe, and is there to support the community.
You want to see those community checkpoints gone?
Well, obviously, when we move down alert levels, that is an indication that we are in a safe position. And so, therefore, the need for some of those measures that communities have often thought to put in place to protect themselves aren't as necessary.
Dr. Broomfield, many elderly are spending weeks in hospital unnecessarily because they can't go back to the rest homes without a test. Would the Ministry reconsider this position, given that a lot of these people are suffering unnecessarily?
Hmm. So actually what we're doing, and one of my colleagues wrote to the Aged Care Association 2 days ago, and I've had an email back from Simon Wallace, the Chief Executive, thanking us for reaching out. We're actually going to sit down with them and look at all the information we've gleaned over the last few weeks about what we need to do to make sure our rest homes and aged residential care facilities are as safe as they can be, including from the process we've got underway to do a review of rest homes facilities that have had cases, as well as information that the DHBs have gleaned by going around and checking on all of their facilities in their ohe. So we are doing that collectively with them, and that includes the role of testing for both residents who might be entering or coming back from hospital, those who are there already, as well as staff, and what procedures we need to also put around that in terms of, if they do have a case, whether we need to provide other accommodation for staff members to stop them potentially infecting members of their family. So we're looking at all of that collectively with them. And as I say, that includes the role of testing for new residents coming in, both at the point of when they come in and also potentially while they're in that 14 days self-isolation, because one of the things we've found is that some of those cases we've found in these facilities had no symptoms, and so we want to be sure we're picking up any possible cases there.
Dr. Bloomfield, remind me, but my recollection is that we've had one case via a patient in an aged care, that's being brought into an aged care facility via a patient, and that was connected to overseas travel, is my recollection. So the vulnerability often has been by care workers and staff, and so I think that that singular focus on those who are residents, when actually there is, it's that risk of those who are coming and going that we need to be very, very mindful of.
On Monday you said that we've won the battle on community transmission but must remain vigilant. Is that the wrong message to send to the public when we haven't actually started detailed testing in the community yet and can't categorically say whether we have won that battle?
Probably the Director General of Health commenting on that, but that was one of our tests for moving outside of Alert Level 4, was our level of confidence around community transmission. The level of testing in New Zealand is such to give us that confidence, but that is a moment in time. So I think what it's fair to say is that while we can have confidence when we made that decision, we have to maintain our vigilance. We have to constantly ensure we're still following those rules so that we can be assured that that is still the case. We continue our testing, we continue our border controls, we continue our isolation to keep giving us that assurance. I don't think with COVID-19 anywhere will it be a matter for anyone in the world to say job done. This is going to be with us for a long time, and we will have to keep winning battles every step of the way.
That's the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern there taking questions in the 1 p.m. media briefing, which we've all got used to now. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern with Ashley Bloomfield. They start with the number, and the number today is 3. 3 new people diagnosed with COVID-19 in New Zealand. An update on the numbers of children heading to school and early childhood. A bit of talk about enforcement and some discussion of what it might take to get to level 2 there. You can always listen to the media conferences online and in full. In full, that is, at rnz.co.nz.